Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Reverend Dylan Doyle Burke, and I will be leading the service today along with Ron Levy, our music director, and Sarah Summers will be downstairs with the children. I was at an ordination yesterday out in Staten Island, and I was just reflecting because yesterday, it's a very old church with a lot of heat, and I lost about 5 pounds in sweat over the course of the service, and I was reflecting on my gratitude to be here in this air-conditioned space with you all today. Today we gather in celebration of Memorial Day, which is the day of the year in which we recognize all of those of blessed memory who have died in active service in the armed forces. There are many in this congregation who have either served themselves or have loved ones that are veterans, or loved ones that have died in the line of duty, and I welcome you all. This is a space of vulnerability. This is a space of community and love. This is a space of hope and holding. So come, let us be together on this day of remembrance. It's always interesting leading service on a chancel with two chairs, because you never know exactly where to sit when. So I hope you've been enjoying my one-player minister musical chairs up here. I remember being in elementary school in Concord, Massachusetts. And if any of you know the area or know what elementary school is like there, we were expected to live, breathe, eat, and be steeped in, like a teabag, in the Revolutionary and Civil War history. Every class, they found a tie-in to the wars. For math, they taught us long division with images of British soldiers. For PE, we ran across the bridge where the shot heard round the world had rung out. For our Halloween class celebrations, we were all expected to dress up as either the founding fathers or as soldiers, Union soldiers. And I remember in particular a series of art classes where we would go drive to Sleepy Hollow Cemetery and we would make gravestone rubbings. Gravestone rubbings, if you haven't had the pleasure, are a lot like leaf rubbings. You take this big sheet of white paper, place it against a textured surface, and then use a crayon or pastel to rub on the paper until the texture emerges as color on the paper. Of course, gravestone rubbings are special in that they're done on gravestones. During this project, we were instructed to spend 10 minutes seeking out a gravestone of a soldier whose name we wanted to memorialize in our art. We were supposed to kneel down next to this gravestone, place our paper against the cold stone, and spend some time in silence, rubbing on our paper until the name appears like Braille under our fingertips. During this particular project, I remember it was autumn, and the New England breeze was cool. This was the first day of the project, and I remember being down on one knee, seeking a gravestone for my rubbing. I remember looking up at the weather vane at the Unitarian Church across the street, and then I remember looking around at these great stone tombs around me. I remember settling on a grave. I don't remember the soldier's name. I do remember setting my paper against the headstone and gently rubbing until the details of his life emerged on the page. less than 20 years old when he had died, I remember noting, buried next to his father, who had also died the same year in the war. When I realized that, I remember shivering, one of those deep kinds of shivers that catch you by surprise and have nothing to do with the cold. In that moment, it's the first moment, really, where death made sense to me. The heaviness of war was made real to me in a new way. And on that day, as I left the cemetery with my class, I remember looking up again at the ancient weather vane above that Unitarian church. It was the solitary iron rooster, a little rusted, just turning circles wildly in the wind. It was actually a day similar to the day outside that we have here. And in my childlike way, I remember thinking about how old that weather vane was. And I wondered, what could it remember about those who had been buried there? On May 5th, 1868, General John A. Logan, leader of an organization for Northern Civil War veterans, called for a nationwide Day of Remembrance later that month. He's quoted as having said, "The 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land." Memorial Day, as the day gradually came to be known, originally honored only those fighting in the Civil War. But during World War I, the United States found itself embroiled in another major conflict, and the holiday evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. But though General Logan is given credit for the creation of Memorial Day, the May practice of memorializing was already in place long before it was institutionalized. In fact, many places claim the first post-Civil War Memorial Day, from the victorious Union leadership in D.C. to the defeated Confederate soldiers in Louisiana to the mourning black children in Charleston who are said to have honored the U.S. colored troops the day immediately after. The day immediately after the war formally ended. However, regardless of where those places who might claim to be first are, each of those celebrations had a common purpose: to remember the sacrifice and to honor the lives of those people who died on the battlefield. And it was such a right and remarkable act that we institutionalized it. And we continue to remember and honor those who have served. Memorial Day, today, became the day in which we strive to explicitly acknowledge their service, recall the circumstances of their deaths, dwell in the quiet sorrow of their loss, and remember their lives. I want to name that Unitarian Universalism has a complicated theology when it comes to Memorial Day. On one hand, we affirm pacifism, striving for peaceful solutions to global conflicts. Our seven principles inform us to respect the inherent worth and dignity of every person and instruct us that protection of life is paramount, even in the face of evil. Our six sources follow in the Judeo-Christian tradition that teaches thou shalt not kill. We are not a religious tradition of holy war. Instead, we pride ourselves on being a tradition of holy peace. And many of our prominent historical members have fought for peaceful resolutions in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Iraq. The list goes on. So I want to name that we have many great and stringent pacifists in our history. And yet, on the other hand, we are also a tradition that values memory and legacy and respect for service and pure intention. We support a theology of liberation and revolutionary love and honoring sacrifice. At the heart of our tradition is a stalwart defense of freedom. Unitarian Universalism is a quintessentially American faith, and our history is entwined with the struggles of our country, even its wars. So in addition to the pacifists, there are many of our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors who fought and died on the battlefield. And so I want to name that on Memorial Day, our faith struggles with this tension. How to bear witness to the sacrifice and service of our armed forces while also holding on to our goal of a world without needless death and without a military-industrial complex that sometimes serves the politicians more than it serves the troops or veterans. And perhaps you wrestle about these tensions in your own life, and I know that I do. I come from a military family on my father's side, and as a minister, I serve veterans in this congregation and in other aspects of my ministry. And today, these are the people on my heart. Even while I try to make peace with the uncertain direction of our national and military leadership, which is all just to give space to the reality that there are real tensions that many of us carry into this day. And I'm going to ask us to just hold these tensions, just let them breathe. Because I believe at the root of Memorial Day, in the midst of these tensions, is also a real invitation for us to reflect and mark the lives and legacy of all of those who came before us and all of those who sacrificed their lives in order for us to live. So whatever you think about our current political systems, and I'm sure some of us have some opinions, this day is an invitation for us to hold those soldiers in their own right and trust that they believed in their cause and the legacy that their service would leave behind. The English word memorial comes from the Latin word memoria, which most directly can be translated as remembrance. Remembrance, when taken by its roots, means to make whole again, to remember, literally, to repair that which has been fractured. Our act of memorial is the ritual that we engage in to make something or someone from the past whole again in our present. In memorial, we alter time itself, so that past and present can meet, even for a short while. And it's why on Memorial Day we hang flags on graves and leave flowers on the headstones of the deceased and listen to a 10-bell salute. It's even why back in the 70s, when Memorial Day was first institutionalized as a federal holiday, people began the tradition of barbecuing with family, which some of you may be up to later this weekend. And sure, it might not be as reverent as visiting a grave, but it sure as heck is a powerful way of connecting and marking the day as an active time of togetherness. Rituals like these matter. Being here today on Memorial Day matters because we find strength in the remembering. Director Ann Bogart has a quote about memorializing that I love. She says, "As a result of our partnership with memory, we feel nourished, encouraged, and energized. In the process of memorializing, we feel more profoundly connected and inspired by those who came before, connected and inspired. In Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried, he describes soldiers in the Vietnam War, and he lists things, as we heard earlier. The things they carried, from standard-issue helmets to superstitious objects like a lucky rabbit's foot to photographs. Almost everyone carried photographs. They carried photographs so that they would remember. As members of the living, it falls on us to carry the memory of the dead, whether that is in pictures or stories. Earlier in the service, I was very heartened to see so many of you turn to your neighbor and talk, and others I was so heartened to see be in yourself in a place of deep reflection. I asked you to bring to mind a particular person that was on your heart today. I invited you to say their name and tell a story. And this, to me, is the heart of Memorial Day, marking those that have come before and celebrating their sacrifice. Their sacrifice that allowed us to follow in their footsteps. And I invite you to bring that person to mind again, if you will. And as you think about this person this time, I invite you to reflect on what they might have carried in their life, the objects they might have held, the keepsakes they might have passed down to you, the day-to-day tools and trinkets that created calluses on their fingers. And I invite you to bring to mind the intangible items they may have carried too. The spiritual weight, the emotional mantles, the depression and the joy and the fear and the surprise. We each carry so much with us each day. And so too did those that came before. Memorial Day is our day to tell their stories, especially the stories of those that died in the line of duty. And it is an invitation for us to use those stories to inform how we will live our lives. We each will leave a legacy. Just by virtue of your existence, whether you are one day old or 100 years old. When we die, we're going to leave an indelible mark on this earth. And so the question for us is not whether we will leave a legacy, but rather what will that legacy be? So what will your legacy be? What photographs will people carry with your image? What stories will people tell? And for this congregation as well, what is the legacy that we want to leave? How will this world remember us? Because as much as Memorial Day is about how and when people died, it is even more about how people lived. And on this day, we remember, we make alive again those that paid the ultimate price for their service. So as I close, I remember again that ancient weather vane, that rusted rooster spinning atop that church, watching over the sleepy hollow graveyard. The weather vane that watched the internment of a soldier's body alongside his father's, and 200 years later, watched a young boy rub the relief of that soldier's name onto a blank white piece of paper in crayon. I remember again how that weather vane turned in the wind for centuries, keeping watch. So may it be. I love you, and amen.